It is my testimony tonight that I have experienced the gentle hand of the Lord lead me. And there is nothing so precious and comforting and secure as feeling the hand of the Lord. It's wonderful to know that the Lord is with us. It's my testimony that I have experienced being able to look over the past and have beheld how His wide arms of mercy has held me. During those times when I felt alone, when I felt desperate, when I felt needy, when it looked dark, when I didn't know how I was going to go on, the Lord came on the scene. And I was able to look back and say, thank you, Lord. He's never failed me. I'm appreciative of that tonight. I have good news for you tonight as well. In addition to that, there is still hope in the gospel. Just like there was yesterday. There's still hope in the gospel. And regardless of the gospel message that is preached, regardless of the stirrings of the Spirit that we might feel, there is forever hope in the gospel. As long as the Lord extends us life, there's hope. And I take comfort in that. I appreciate that. I'd like to talk for a few minutes this evening about a very important and personal matter that each one of us that is here tonight is going to confront. It's an appointment that is very personal. It's an appointment that will take place, and it's just going to be between you and the Lord. We mentioned, I believe it was last night or the night before, that the Lord is not coming back to save groups of people, or to judge groups of people, or to condemn groups of people. The Lord is coming back to judge individuals. And there's going to be a time that takes place in an hour that we know not. And there will come a time when it's going to be your time. And in its appointment that you will not be able to put off, you won't be able to delay it, and you won't be late to it. You're going to be right on time. I'd like to start this evening in the first, fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3. 1 Thessalonians 5:1 says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." I'd like to turn now to Matthew, the 25th chapter, and I'd like to read just a few verses, 25 and 5. Says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Everybody did. They slumbered and slept, unaware of the time of his return. And it said at midnight, there was a cry made, a cry that could not be ignored. There was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And a few verses down in the 13th verse, it says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not, neither the day nor the hour, wherein the Son of Man cometh." We read that it will be the day of the Lord. Did you know that this is going to be a day of the Lord? It's going to be a day that is on His terms. It isn't going to be on my terms. It's not going to be at a time of my choosing. We mentioned that. It's not going to be based on the conditions that I develop. It's not going to be based upon the truth that I think is right. It's not going to be based on how I lived my life because of how I thought I ought to be able to live my life. But it said the day of the Lord is going to be His day. And there will not be any mistaking whose day it is on that day. It said the day of the Lord is going to come. And He's going to come as a thief in the night. And He is going to come and there is going to be no other chances. There is going to be no other opportunity to meet the Lord in any different way than the way that you are when the Lord comes back. I woke up one morning some time back, and I suppose that perhaps you all have done the same thing. I woke up and I was laying in bed, and I thought, what if the Lord comes right now? What if He comes right now? Am I ready to go? Am I ready to meet the Lord just like I am? No further opportunity to ask one more prayer of forgiveness. No more opportunity to go and plead someone else's for forgiveness for the way that I've treated them. No more opportunity to put away the works of the flesh and to begin to endeavor to live a life of holiness and righteousness. And I sat there and laid there in my bed wondering, Lord, am I ready to go? If You were to come right now. It was a sobering thought. I remember one time Brother Tony Sammons at Monarch, some of you were probably there, he looked out over the congregation and he said, the majority of people that are here tonight are going to face God just like you are. Just like you are tonight. The majority of people go out and they face God just like you are tonight. Are you ready to go tonight? Are you ready for the Lord to return in an hour that you think not? I have thought a lot about the earthquake that happened in Japan. You remember when that happened? The devastation that took place, the lives that were flung out into eternity with no warning, those that were swept out to sea, businesses that people had worked for years to try to develop and make a profit, and their hearts and their lives were in them, they were wiped out in a blink of an eye to come back no more. Did you know that there was no warning? There was no advance warning or preparation that was able to take place before that earthquake came. There was no one that came along and said, folks, tomorrow there is going to be an earthquake like you've never seen before. Make sure you're prepared to meet the Lord. There wouldn't have been time to do a whole lot else. They could have told them to flee to high ground, but there was no warning. There was nobody that was able to come and give them that. And those people that got up the day of that earthquake, no doubt they got up and they felt like it was going to be a day just like it was yesterday. Maybe better. Had no idea what was before them. Had no idea what they were getting ready to face. And do you know that only the safeguards that were already in place, only the preparations that had already been made and were implemented, only those safeguards, only those protections, those were the only things that did anybody any good that day. All of the good intentions, all of the plans, the blueprints that no doubt were out there that perhaps would allow them to better prepare for this day, it did no one any good whatsoever. Because that was the day. This was the day that the 9.0 earthquake was going to come. And it wasn't that the people in Japan didn't know that earthquakes were going to come. You see the similarities? Japan had had earthquakes before. Japan perhaps is built better than any other city for earthquakes in many respects. Nevertheless, on the day that that earthquake came, the hard reality of a 9.0 quake took its toll, exposing areas of vulnerability and weakness without regard to position, without regard to lack of planning, really without regard to the devastation that took place. It came because it was the time for it to come. And there was no opportunity for anybody to do anything about it. In many cases, the day of the Lord is going to come like that. In many ways, there are a lot of similarities to that. We read that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief. Folks, we had a message the other night on being on the right road. And we had a message on, if you're headed towards Eugene and you mean to go to Portland, you are not going to get to Portland if you stay on the road to Eugene. If you stay on that road, you're going to end up where that road leads. That's where you're going to end up. And it is the mercy of the Lord that the signs all along the way keep saying, Portland, 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 trying in the Lord's mercy to get us off to go to where we need to be. But you know, I thought of something else. We don't have the luxury as we head to Eugene to have signs on the side of the road that says, hell 45 years ahead, hell 35 miles ahead, hell 20 years ahead, and then all the while, Portland, 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 hell 1 year ahead. Okay, I better take off now. Now it's time to get off. I better get off. That is a luxury that we don't have. None of us have that luxury tonight. The Lord said that He would come in an hour that ye think not. That stirs my heart. That is why in the 21st chapter of Luke, He said, take heed unto yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Why did He say, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged? It's because lest at any time He comes in an hour that ye think not. And I want to say tonight that the world, what the world has to offer, the table that the world has spread for us to partake of, it is designed such that it will overcharge us. That is why the Scriptures tell us, don't love the world. Don't love the things that are in the world. For the love of the world, it's not consistent with what the Father is all about. So He warns us, don't do that. Don't be overcharged with the world. Don't be overtaken with it. Drunkenness. Did He just mean drunk with alcohol? Listen, the world's table that is spread, it also has a component to it that it's intoxicating. It's addicting. It causes us to be overcharged to it and become in bondage to it. And so the warning was given to us, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. That means don't ever let it get started. Don't ever give yourself. Don't ever become involved with that is unlike the Lord. Because eventually what happens is you become overcharged. And you become overcharged almost before you know it. We become overcharged with what we look at. We can become overcharged with what we allow ourselves to listen to. We can become overcharged with the entertainment of the world. We can become overcharged with what I think is right and what I think is wrong. There is a spirit in the world today. There is a spirit that reigns in the world today that it's all about you and it's what you think and it's what you want. As long as it's not consistent with the Word of God, you can think it, but don't promote it if it's consistent with holiness and righteousness. Beware of that spirit. Don't become intoxicated with that spirit. Don't become drunk with that spirit. It's serious business. You become intoxicated and drunk with that sort of thing, the things that the world has to offer. And one of these days, in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man is going to come. And He will find us and we will be judged according to how we are living right then and that day. I have a man that used to work for me. He sat across from me not too long ago. And he said, "Rod, well, I already knew that it happened. He came to work one day just like any other day. But that day was not a day just like every other day. He just about lost his life that day. He came to work and he started having heart trouble. He decided he better go home. And so he left work early and he went home and he told his wife, he said, 'Honey, we better go to the hospital. I'm having trouble. Let's go to Little Rock. They have a bigger hospital there.' And they began to head towards the Little Rock Hospital. And they were about 15 minutes down the road. And he said, 'I don't think I'm going to make it.' He said, 'Turn around and go back to the smaller hospital that's in the area.' So she turned around. And as time went on, things began to progressively get worse. And as they sped towards the hospital at speeds in excess of 100 miles an hour, he believed that his life was slipping away from him. And he said, 'Rod,' he said, 'I was crying out to God for forgiveness.'" He's a pastor of a congregation in the area. He said, "There were things in my life that I knew shouldn't be there." He said, "I don't know why I allowed them to stay in my life." He said, "They were there." And he said, "I had a fear in my heart. I had a fear in my soul. Because," he said, "I knew," he said, "eternity is a long time. And I knew the consequences of meeting God without being right with Him." And he said, "I was crying out to God for forgiveness." He said, "Rod," he said, "I wasn't thinking about my 401k. I wasn't thinking about my job." He said, "I wasn't thinking about my hobbies. I wasn't thinking," he said, "Rod, my wife was sitting right next to me." He said, "I wasn't thinking about my wife." He said, "It was about me and God." And a short time later, he heard the doctors and the nurses saying, "Hold on, stay with us, keep with us." He just about went out into eternity. He's still with us today, but he said, "My life." He said, "Oh, I want to live for the Lord." He said, "I want to do whatever it's going to take to live for the Lord." He said, "I don't want to do anything that's wrong." He said, "From now on," he said, "I don't want there to be anything that stands between me and the Lord." And I hope that that's what he continues to do. Because do you know that for many people, that isn't what happens? That sort of conviction tends to come and go. Thank you. It comes and goes with the passage of time and the dulling influence of the world. And people come and they sit under the sound of the doctrine, just like tonight, and they feel the Spirit of the Lord talking to their hearts. And they turn around and they go right out that door. And they straightway forget what manner of man they are. The Lord warned us about that because He knew that it was a reality. The Lord knew that it was a reality. It's human nature, and it's the enemy of our soul that comes to steal away the Word of God that is preached in our hearing. The enemy comes to steal away the dealings with the Spirit. And so many people, they go right out that door after feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit, knowing that they're not right with God, knowing that if the Lord came tonight, they wouldn't be ready. And yet they gamble with their souls and they go right out and go right back to the things that they before
allowed in their lives that was unlike the Lord. And over time, the dulling influence of the world, the enemy coming in and telling them, it'll be okay, you'll have more time. The Lord's a God of love. He is a God of love. That's why He sends these kind of messages, thank the Lord. That's why He has a hope associated with this gospel. That's the reason why He doesn't cut anybody off. But He gives us an opportunity to be saved over and over again. Folks, we have a responsibility to listen to the word of the Lord when it comes. What are you willing to give in exchange tonight? What possibly is worth trading your soul for? Belshazzar did it. He tried. What did Belshazzar do? He took that which was passed down to him. The gospel, if you will. It wasn't the gospel of Jesus, but the Lord talked to his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, and he told him, this is the one true God. This is the God whom you should serve. And he was a grandson who had to know all about the things that happened to his grandfather, who turned against the Lord. And yet, with the passage of time, with the intoxication of power, with the intoxication and drunkenness of self-interest, there was a day that he threw a party for himself. There was a day that he got up just like every other day, so he thought. And all he called for that which was the Lord's. Called for that which had been dedicated to the Lord's temple. The vessels. And he said, bring those in here. And he brought those in there and began to use them to consume them upon his lust. He did that to the detriment of his soul. Was it worth it? What will a man give in exchange? Worldly power? Recognition? Follow after the flesh? Self-interest? Oh, it wasn't long and it got very quiet in the room. Not a soul was saying a thing except for trembling as a hand wrote on the side of the wall, thou art weighed in the balance and art found wanting. Where do you stand tonight? Are you ready to meet the Lord on His terms? What are you willing to give in exchange for your soul? What's worth it? Career? Going out after those that don't love the Lord? Yoking up with the wrong people? The entertainment of the world? What's it worth? What kind of gambler are you? Making has to do with this dot right here. And here's eternity. Goes forever. Infinite. That's that symbol, infinity. It goes and it goes and it goes and it goes. And we hold on to the smallest, most trivial things for this. And the Lord said, in an hour that ye think not, I'm going to come back and I'm going to see what ticket you punched. I'm going to see what ticket you purchased. He paid for the ticket. We purchase it by coming and drinking of the water that's been provided for us. That's our cost. Our cost is coming to the table. The price has already been paid. And yet we gamble with our lives.
James said, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? Your life is even a vapor that appears for just a little time and then it vanishes away." That's why there's so much in the Scriptures that teach us about being ready to meet God. Because our life is just a hair's breadth. It goes by so fast and it's gone. For what? What's worth it? You willing to gamble? You willing to go out those doors tonight and say, "I think I'll make it for another day"? Make it for another day? What if the Lord comes back tonight? He told you He wasn't going to tell you when He's going to come back. Don't wait until you start feeling bad in your body and sick and then think it's time. People every single day go out of this world, from babies all the way up, that are feeling just fine. And the Lord comes along and He knocks on their door, on their time, says, "It's up. It's time. Your appointment is now. No opportunity to make any changes." What's it worth to you? What are you willing to gamble? The stakes are high. I drove by a cemetery the other day. We were out with Keith and Allison. And we were coming back home and I went over the hill and there was a cemetery off to the side. And I looked at that cemetery and I saw all those tombstones. And I suppose more than ever before, I looked out across there and I thought, those people, they have lives just like I have. They had parents, they had grandparents, they had jobs, they had hopes, they had dreams, they had difficulties, they had some successes in life, they lived like just like I do. But now all there is to perhaps infrequently remind those that are left is a little bit of concrete. What value did life really afford them? Outside of being ready for this, that's of infinite value on this side of eternity. Of infinite value, making the right decisions. That's the only thing that mattered to those people who had a little bit of concrete for their name. That's all that mattered. And no doubt many of those people gave their hearts, their lives, their minds, their attraction, the treasures that they laid up, was all based around this dot. When the Lord told us He was going to come back and there is going to be an eternity that you're going to live in, and yet they gambled with their souls and now they're lost forever. Lost forever. What would a man profit if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for a soul? What things are important to you tonight? If you're here and you're not saved, if you're here and you don't have a clearness between you and the Lord, I'd like you to think tonight about what are those things that are keeping you from being prepared for eternity. I'd like you to do that right now. Think about them in your minds. Put clothes on them. Understand what they are, because the stakes are high. Make sure they're important. Make sure they're valuable to you. But I want to tell you something. In the end, you're going to be so disappointed. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you will say, "Why? Why didn't I? Why didn't I just take advantage of the opportunity that I had to be saved? I was taught
Belshazzar was taught. He knew. Oh, but once the judgment was written on the wall, there was no changing it. Thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. This night, thy kingdom shall be, what did it say? Taken from thee and given to another. I'd like to read the last few verses of Revelation. Let's look and see what the Lord wanted to be left with us at the very end of the Bible. You know, you read books sometimes and you're usually really interested in what happens at the beginning to get you going off, and the middle of the story is kind of, you know, begins to develop it, but you always wonder how the book's going to end. What did the writer choose to end the book with? I want you to listen tonight. I want you to listen to how the Lord our God wanted to end the Bible. Let's read, starting with the 13th verse. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Feel the power in that? You feel the great I am, the majesty, oh, we're so small when you read and think about that, and that's going to be our judge. The Alpha and the Omega is going to judge us, and He's going to judge us according to our works, as we talked about last night. He's going to judge us according to where our heart is. He's going to judge us according to whether we took hold of the blood-stained hands of Jesus who paid the price for our lives. He's going to look for that blood. He's going to look to see if we've been holding hands with His Son. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do the commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. And He's warning us here, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. It's of His mercy that He testify these things to us. They're testified to us tonight for our salvation. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Now listen to what He said. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely, thank God. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Oh, listen, He told us here, blessed are they which do these commandments. And He gave us an invitation. He told us, He said to come. He said, if you're athirst, listen, it's been paid for. There's a water and it's life-giving and it's there for your consumption, and you can come and you can drink of it and you can be prepared to live in heaven for eternity. Because there is one that paid the price for us, that if we would partake of that water and dump out the old contaminated water that's in our cup of self and allow Him to fill us up, oh, we won't have to thirst anymore, thank the Lord. We don't have to pay for it. We don't have to earn our way into heaven. Not a one of us would make it tonight. But if we'll empty ourselves out of ourselves and let the Spirit of God fill us up when He comes back. And when it's our appointed time to die, we'll be able to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." God wanted to impress upon our hearts that that is what He wanted us to know here at the end of His Scriptures. But He also told us, and He warned us, He said, "But while you're thinking about this, let me say it that way, don't add or take away from anything that's said. Listen, I've got the water and it satisfies and it doesn't need any additions to it. They sell stuff in the store these days. You can add some flavoring to your water and make it taste a little bit how you'd like it to taste. And you can say, well, I'm still getting my water and I'm still getting what I need and it tastes like I want it to taste." Listen, you don't need to put any flavorings. You don't need to put anything in the water of life. It is just how we want it. The Lord has designed it to be life-giving. He's designed it to have and be of eternal value. He said, don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Don't try to come in on your own terms. If we'll take it as He has presented it to us, what a bright and glorious future we have. Oh, be encouraged tonight to partake of the water that the Lord is standing up here tonight and He's saying, here it is, come, come. He didn't say, go away, I'm going to make it as hard on you as possible. You're going to have to go through an obstacle course. You're going to have to try to figure it out. You're going to have to pay a high price. He stands here and He says, come, come. Take of the water of life. It's free. It's paid for. Come. Don't have to add to it. Don't put that on your shoulders. No need to do that. Come tonight. If you're not where you need to be with God, come. You don't have to worry about this anymore if you come. The Lord has the answer for you tonight. Thank the Lord. And then He went on and He said, He told us, He said, if any man take away from the book, the words of the book of this prophecy, then He pronounced judgment if we try to do it on our own terms. He said, I'll take your name out of the book and you won't be able to come in and I won't know you and I'll say to you, depart from me, ye that workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Take them away. I don't want to be part of that category. I don't want to be part of that group. And He said, He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Do you know it doesn't matter how long you live? You can live to be 90 and 100 years old. But I want to tell you something. When the day comes that the Lord calls your name, The truth of the Scripture that said our life is like a vapor is going to take on a whole new meaning. We can live for 90 years. We can live for 100 years. The Lord said, surely I come quickly. And He put some strength behind it and He said, amen. How many places in the Bible does He say amen right in the middle of a verse? There are other places in the Bible, but it stands out to me here. He's making a point. Surely I come quickly. Amen. It's going to be quick. In the longest of circumstances, there's no way you can turn this into being long. This is short no matter how you measure it. No matter what measuring tape you use. No matter what volumetric device you use. No matter how you cut it up and it's short. And when He comes, we're going to look back and say, oh my Lord, how quickly that was. Are you ready to meet the Lord? He's coming quickly. Said He was coming quickly. Are you ready to meet Him? I don't want to hear those words depart from me. And so it seems fitting then. It seems fitting that in the last part of the verse here, He said, even so come, Lord Jesus. All that He told us, He told us, drink of the water of life. I've got it for you. And He told us, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And He told us in the Scriptures about the length of of the time after when time ends, and the shortness and the brevity of life, and our need of the Savior, and how He paid the price for us. Oh, that we could have a testimony tonight where we can live our lives in this little time frame right here and be able to say, even so, come Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, given the truth of what You have preached to us, Lord, given that eternity is going to go on forever, given Lord that You're going to judge us according to a righteous judgment, Lord, I can have a testimony because I took of the water of life where I can say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. What did Solomon say? He looked, we talked about this the other night, he searched for the value of life. He tried to figure out how do you get the most out of life. What is it that I can do so that I can maximize the time that I have? And oh, he got to the very end and he said, I can just see him kind of throwing up his hands and saying, this is what it comes down to, folks. Let's hear the conclusion of all the time that I've spent trying to figure out what life's all about. Let's just cut right to the chase. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For He shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And that was the end of his chapter. That was the end of his book. That brought an end to it. Someone here tonight in this room is going to meet the Lord first out of all the rest of us. Somebody here tonight is first in line. You prepared to assume that position? It's true. It's true, folks. And you know what happens a lot of times? It's not the oldest one in the room. Somebody tonight is going to go first before all the rest of us. And it very well may be in an hour that you think not. I want to be ready to assume that position. I want to take advantage of the cross. I want to bow at my Savior's feet where the blood flows. I want to let that blood cover my sins. I want to partake of the water that the Lord has made available for me. I want to be able to have a testimony where I can say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's stand tonight and sing a song. Maybe we can sing number 405. If you're not ready to meet the Lord, if you don't feel a clearness in your heart, if you don't feel ready to assume the position of first in line, one of these days you will be first in line. If it's not with this group, one day you will be. If you're not ready to assume that position, come and make it right. It's free. It's free. The Lord paid the price for it. He just said, come. It's yours. And He will help you fight the battles that await you. Yes. He will help you be victorious. Yes. After you drink of the water of life, He's not going to leave you to stumble and fall and fail because of the pull of the world. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Let us live our life that we might always be able to say, even so, come Lord Jesus. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.